Happy October, Shoujo listeners. It's your girl, Sarah, and your boy, Joe, here to tell you all about Skip Beat and our thoughts and feelings and just talk about fun stuff in general. You know what? Ooh, look, I'm going to switch it up. Listen up, people. We always do the rate and review at the end of the episode. But you guys aren't doing it, so I should put it in the beginning, wow. Right? Force you to listen.
You didn't tell me that we were doing
this. No, I didn't. Is that fine?
Is it fine? I mean, I think it's kind of, if this is like the first episode, okay, if for some reason somebody is listening to Skip Beat episode 16 through 18, that's their first experience, and the first thing they hear is like, you should rate us, is like, well, they don't know what we do. Oh. What do we do, Sarah?
Well, what lunatic is starting at those episodes, but fine.
It's a good question.
But just a reminder, people, it's weird that we want those.
Okay.
But we'll try to guilt trip you more later. For now, Joe is going to tell us all about his exciting life.
Wait, what do we do on this podcast, Sarah?
Ah, fuck. Okay.
Don't listen to this. If this is your first episode, turn it off right now and listen to a different one.
Okay, shoujo podcast is about shoujo, the anime genre that is typically intended for young girls and was, you know, hit its peak in the 90s and early 2000s. The show we're currently covering, Skip Beat, is more like of a specific thing, acting, whereas a lot of them typically are school life based, but we already cut last series we covered is Kimi ni Todoke, so that was more of that typical school life romance deal. So we're gonna try and like keep it fresh with varying types of shoujo. So we're wrapping up Skip Beat soon, and we'll see what we cover next. Is that good?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you didn't talk about me, rambling.
Oh, well, I talked about the podcast.
I know, but it's like, why is it called shoujo? Because I haven't seen it.
Okay.
And you have.
Joe here.
At least you've seen these shows.
Yes. I'm a girl, so obviously I watched the girly shows as a kid, and Joe only started watching stuff on Toonami, and they did not play girly stuff there, so he is not very familiar with the genre, and so I'm showing Joe shoujo. Get it?
There you go.
Shoujo.
We did it.
I should just make like a good intro and then just have that play every time. So I don't keep forgetting. No,
I think having to do it every time is good. I think it's fun to have to redo it every time.
Yeah.
This is people don't come here for our automated messages.
No.
People come here to listen to what unique thing we have to say every week.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel like you're the one bringing the interesting things to the table. I'm just like, I took a bunch of naps and that's about it.
You need to start going crazy. This is what I'm saying. You need to start just like doing some wild stuff. Watch a weird movie. Make some like weird drink and describe it.
No.
Mix together hot chocolate and like Pepsi and tell me how it is.
Ew. I don't like carbonated. I don't drink soda. Grody.
Oh my gosh.
Ew. I have one exciting update. I guess we could.
Yeah, go for it.
Should I go first? Okay. People, sure. This is not drill. This is real. It is finally feeling like fall in Texas. It's like actually pleasant outside in the mornings and evenings. Like we're not quite, you know, where it's cold throughout the whole day, but we are getting there. And that is exciting because like what Joe's worried about, if you're a first time listener here, I hate the Texas heat, which is almost always. So that sucks. So when it is not miserable outside, I get really excited. So much so that I even think, oh, maybe I'll like go on a hike or something, which is so out of character. But let's see. Normally we catch up on what we've been doing. So
wait, that was the whole thing?
What?
The weather is better?
Yeah. It's exciting.
I thought you were like leading into something. I thought you're like, the weather is better, so I decided to go do this, but it's just the weather is better.
I thought about doing something.
I considered going outside. Aren't you proud of me?
It's not quite there yet. I need to be able to wear a like jacket and not get hot from moving around outside because it's still that. Yeah. Anyways, well, you can't relate anymore. You have like a lovely cold season going on for you.
That's it's nice here. It's like Texas, I get to wear pants now.
When you were here, it was all you knew, so you didn't know any better. You grew up in Texas, right?
I mean, so. I like visited other places before. It didn't just like I wasn't confined to Texas, and then I like realized that there are other seasons that exist.
Yeah. Oh man. I feel like a lunatic this episode. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Anyways, things I've been doing. I finished Life is Strange and I crumbled and got the ultimate edition of the next one because then I get to play the first two episodes before release, which I'm doing. I finished the first episode yesterday.
What was the replay?
It was fine. I don't remember having like extreme feelings about anything the first time I played it, but like I freaking hate the character Chloe. She's so annoying.
Dude, punk she's ass. Fun.
No, she's a troublemaker.
She's your friend who knows how to have fun.
She's ungrateful. She lashes out to everyone.
Yeah, she's a teen.
The worst.
You're describing
teen ever.
A teen.
Well, anyways, spoiler alert. If you haven't played Life is Strange and you plan on playing it at the end of the game, you have the decision to either like save her life and basically the town gets destroyed because you have jacked up the timeline, or you let her die so that things don't go horribly wrong like that and save the town. I freaking save the town. Bye bye, Chloe. Like, so long.
So that's like, I know that's the end of the game. How does the next one start? Like, because it has to pick an ending, right?
Well, no. There's like, you have a conversation and they ask you like, oh, who's that girl in the photo you keep? And you can say, we are friends or we were like high school sweethearts. And then you can say, and they're like, oh, well, what happened? And you can either say, oh, we grew apart or she died. So there's like kind of you determine for this game what the canon is.
Oh, so it's like the Mass Effect thing kind of where they're like, hey, what happened last game? And you tell them and they're like, okay. But, yes. Like, she can't be in it because she could be dead, right?
Well, I have only played the first chapter, but from what I've seen online,
I guess like, it's a time travel game, so there's no rules, so.
Well, the gameplay is different, so it's like the powers don't work exactly the same, so now I might have to actually live with my choices and not just redo them until I get the one I like. It's more like shifting dimensions than the time of the world you're in currently.
Interesting. Okay.
But so far I like it. The graphics are definitely better. It's a different developer now. Because it was like Don't Nod was the original developer. And then at some point I guess Square Enix has this developer called Nine Deck that did Life is Strange, True Colors, and now the Double Exposure. And I bigger budget, so it definitely looks better. Less cringy because they're not high schoolers. This is like about 10 years after the first game. And I feel like they like all the character interactions feel a lot more organic. Like I could see someone, this is like how someone would act and gesture and facial expressions seem normal. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it doesn't make me cry at any point or something.
Would hate to feel something while playing.
Yes. I don't want to feel feelings. I just want to be like fairly neutral at all times. I don't want to feel super
Why?
Sad.
That sounds like
know.
Not that fun.
I'd rather Wouldn't sacrifice not being super happy than being super sad as a risk.
Yeah, but it's a story. It's not, you know. You can just sometimes sad stories are nice. It's like, oh, look at that.
No. Oh, my God. Also, Spoiler alert. Okay, I'm not going to really go into the details.
Stop, you're just spoiling everything.
Spoiler alert for season three of Vox Machina.
What?
The last episode that came out made me cry.
Yeah, go ahead. Skip ahead a minute or something.
No, I'm not going to say what happened. I'm just saying something happened that made me cry quite a bit.
It's not really a spoiler.
I know, but just in case they're like, oh no, what happens?
Did you like ball?
Sarah, who has a hardened heart, cry? I didn't bawl, but I definitely like something happened, and then anytime they like refer to the thing that happened, I started crying again.
Wow.
Oh boy. And you thought it was all like dick jokes and violence, mindless violence. In that,
are you talking to me or the audience?
I don't know, anyone who's watched the show, because it kind of gives off that
I have never thought of you as dick jokes.
No, that's the show.
Oh, it's yeah. Not, no, okay, like yeah, the that. Show totally is that.
Yes. Not what I'm into. But that's like, you know, a part of it that I'll have to deal with. But yeah, I guess that's essentially, I mean, it's like I got one more week. And then basically 2 weeks from now, or 2.5 weeks, it'll be game on for Dragon Age Veilguard.
Right.
I'm so freaking stoked. So get ready to listen to me talk about that a lot in future episodes. Sure. How about you, Joe?
I'll learn anything about Dragon Age.
Yes. How about you? What have you
I've also been playing some games. Hey. I beat the PS2 game Fatal Frame 1.
That sounds kind of
2001. It's the one where you take a picture with a camera of ghosts. Yeah,
just like,
and you
like
fight
a
with
Strange,
a camera.
But no ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, this one's like a camera first-person shooter, kind of. I mean, you walk around. It's like, you know, Silent Hill, where you walk around, but then you attack things with the first-person camera.
Oh. Sounds scary.
Yeah. It's a scary game. I'm playing scary games for
I know. I saw on the Discord. I put in one we could play together. It's only like $3 on Steam.
Yeah. But yeah, I played Fatal Frame 1. It was pretty fun. I feel like part of the reason it was pretty fun is that I could save state because of the way I was playing it. Because that game is extremely unforgiving. You can like save whenever you want.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to like when you save at save points, because that game does not have that many save points. And also the boss battles are like extremely unforgiving. Like they're not that hard, but it's just like if you ever mess up, it like takes off half your health and you have like an extremely limited amount of healing items. Mm. And so it's just like, it's so punishing. And like the last boss even like one shots you basically. So it's like, okay, well, if you know, if I died during the last boss, I would have to replay the entire segment before it, which is probably like, you know, 5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And I died like 4 times. That would have been 20 minutes if I had to do like that. So that stuff is not great,
camera,
but that's just
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Dark Souls with a camera as your weapon?
No, I mean, it's not like that precise. You know what I mean? It's just like because the controls are a little janky, right? Because it's like the horror game kind of thing. So like not everything responds perfectly.
So I can see that being
so it's part of that. But, you know, there's definitely some quality of life stuff that wasn't around in 2001.
Mm, for sure.
That is around now. So I had a good time playing it in, you know, 2024 with save stating in a walkthrough. But if I didn't have those things, it probably would have been pretty difficult. But
yeah, well, it's cool not a JRPG, so it's not like it's gonna. It's freaking JRPGs where you have the freaking safe, like interactive.
No, that's a lot of games. Like this is also the Resident Evil. This is also Silent Hill did this. I mean,
those
this
are
is a
Asian company or developers, right?
Well, yeah, these are all Japanese games.
They love punishing us, I guess.
I mean, that's just like a style of game that you can like do. I mean, if they do it now, I mean, it used to be like that because autosave was not a thing because the hardware wasn't that good.
Mm.
It wasn't really until later that like things got better at like checkpointing and stuff like that.
I guess.
But nowadays, if something has a manual save, it's because that is the like style they're going for or whatever. Okay. Which is why I am not like people are like, oh, are you playing like Re-Phantasmo or whatever. What's it called? The not Persona game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Metaphor? Nope. I don't know.
It's got some...
I don't know. The art style is a little more like, I don't know, like gothy or dramatic or something or stylized. like Persona character portraits are so clean. But these ones are
Metaphor Re Fantasio.
Aha, that's right. Metaphor was in the name. Names like that make it feel unapproachable, you know, like for someone.
Oh, I'm into it. I love when you just throw some shit on there. We'll like, talk about something in this episode where it's just like being over the top. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Just throw more words into it. Just make the longest subtitle ever. But yeah, like the Shin Megami Tensei games, which is, you know, the.
Yeah, the what Persona
spin-off. The mainline series that, yeah, that Persona spin off of is all about like the dungeon crawl. You can only save. It's really punishing. And I think that stuff sucks.
Yep, yep.
I am not a fan of that stuff because I don't care. I don't care about your game being punishing. Like, you know, I play like Dark Souls and Elden Ring and stuff because those games are hard, but they're not punishing, right? Like you die and you like you have to walk, you have to run back for like 30 seconds or something. It's like nothing. And those, it's like you die, you have to replay like 10 minutes of gameplay. And I'm like, I'm just not going to do that after a certain point because I don't care, actually. It's not interesting to me to have to replay a section because you made the wrong choice for a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm playing that. I beat that game. It was pretty fun. I'm also playing all of the Gears of War games again. I'm like, you know, I never played 4 and 5, and there's also like a tactics game that came out a couple years ago, so I'm like, I should play through the whole series again. So I played through 1 on like the ultimate PC edition or whatever, and it's like, okay, yeah, this is kind of like how I remember it. But then I played 2 and I realized that everything I remember is from Gears of War 2. I don't remember any of the other games. I only remember that one. So now I'm playing 3 and I'm like, wow, this stuff happened? I don't remember this at all. But that came from an era when like sequels were just like uniformly better than the previous one. You know what I mean? Like it just took the previous thing and like expanded refined all the stuff it, you wanted it to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like definitely from that era. Like I also remember that being between like the jump between like Halo 1 to Halo 2 to Halo 3. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, oh, this is just like across the board better. Well, like there's very few things I miss.
A time where, you know, like games were still gaining in popularity and technology was drastically improving, or is much more noticeable between generations of things. Because I feel like, I don't know, sequel. Well, I don't know. Assassin's Creed, that's the only one I can think of where it has like current sequels coming out. I don't.
Well, I mean, lots of games have sequels.
Yeah, I'm like games that I'm familiar with, though. I'm not sure.
It's just like not as obvious that the sequel is going to be better than the original. You know what I mean? Like it's that's not like they, I feel like that used to be a given. And now it's just like, well, you know, they're going to make some changes and maybe you don't like those changes.
Now it's more like a movie.
Or they're going to like focus
like
on other things and maybe we don't like that.
The first one was good, so you're worried the second one's going to not hold up.
Yeah, I mean, this has never been true in movies, right? Like, it's you never know if a sequel is going to be as good as the first one. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it isn't. Sometimes it is. But for a while, their games were like that, and now they aren't. And it's just interesting to go back to an era where that was kind of a given and be like, wow, I wonder if I'll play Fatal Frame 2 and just think it's way better than the first one.
That's fun. It's fun replaying games you haven't played in a long time. Sometimes they hold up, sometimes they don't.
Yep.
Cool. Anything?
Video games.
Yeah, we love video games.
Have I watched anything? Yeah, I've watched stuff. I don't really know. I haven't like finished any of it. Like, you know, I started watching Space Runaway Ideon, which is another old mech show. I started watching.
Do you still update Dan to Dan or whatever? Oh, how is that? Someone I met at TwitchCon mentioned that was good, but I'm like, it looks a little freaky to me.
It's not freaky particularly. Like, it's
it
not scary.
Seems
if
like
what you're worried
the
about.
New Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya is from the description is what I got. That's kind of like the.
I have never
generation.
Seen that, so I don't know. But yeah, it has a good opening and the animation looks pretty good. I'm not so hot on the sex jokes in it.
Come on, man. Why?
They're not that bad. The first episode's pretty bad, but after that, like I've only seen the first two episodes. The second episode is totally fine for
I
the
guess
most part.
The like PC-ness of Western media is not the same in Japan, or like it's like the established rule that like all shonen anime is going to be pervy and that's what people like about it. So why change?
See, I don't think that's true though. Like, I don't think all shonen stuff is pervy. Like Attack on Titan is not particularly pervy.
No, that's because that one's just a bummer all around.
Yeah. I mean, but like a lot of the newer ones pretty much aren't. Like the new season of Bleach really isn't at all particularly. I mean, there's some weird stuff.
Well,
I
maybe guess, it's only pervy, really pervy. It's if like, they haven't, if they don't have any female characters consequential enough to be regularly in the show.
I mean, what else is popular that's not super pervy? I feel like
Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer wasn't really.
No. Fire Force definitely was.
The Fire Force contained like I just got that on
character dedicated to that role.
Combined it. Yeah, it's like not pervy except for one character who like in the show, in the text of the show, is like, this sucks. And everybody else in the show is like, yeah, it sucks that this happens to you. And then it just keeps happening because the author is a weirdo.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like it sucks. Spy Family doesn't.
Yeah. I finished watching the second season and started the movie.
Yeah. So I feel like it's really things have gotten better in that regard for the most part.
But then freaking Chainsaw Man, that is like all it is. I could not watch that show from how much of it was pervy.
That's different though.
It was out of control.
Chainsaw Man is like, that's part of the plot though.
Like, I was
it's important to Denji's character that he's like this.
I was like clutching my pearls. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, wait, over what?
This is for teenagers.
Nothing even really happened.
I don't know. He's just much more like explicit with his thoughts rather than like it just being implied, I guess.
Well, that's because it's not like it's not supposed to be like a titular fan service thing. Like it's not supposed to get the audience going. This is like part of his character arc. Like the thing about Chainsaw Man is that him being like a horny teenager is like important to the plot. Which means that the show is going to comment on it and has things to say about it, which I like more than other stuff where there's just fan service and nobody acknowledges it. And I had to be like, well, why is this even here? Like, why is like perverted stuff happening if we're just going to like not if we're not commenting on it? You know what I mean?
I guess. Yeah. As soon as they killed off
horny,
the cute
it's fine.
Dog, I was like, damn, what is the point of even watching this if there's not a cute little chainsaw dog? Mascot gone immediately.
The problem with Chainsaw Man is that I like the stuff that happens later, but we won't get to that for a couple of years. So I keep having to like try to be like, no, it's good. And everybody else I know is like, eh, I don't really care for it. And I'm like, well, you know, eventually we'll get to a part where some stuff happens that's the coolest shit ever. But it's not going to be for a little bit. It's definitely not going to be next arc, which I don't particularly like.
What do you think of One Punch Man? I saw season 3 is finally coming or announced or something.
I didn't watch season 2.
I didn't watch it. I don't like. I need pretty characters to look at.
I like. It's fine. I think it's fine. I think the joke it has, it kind of runs its course, and then at a certain point, I'm like, all right, well, I guess we're kind of done here.
Yeah, that's true. There's no training montage if he's already the strongest dude ever. No tournaments. Yeah, nothing like that.
But I don't know. I didn't watch season 2. People didn't like it because of, I guess, like the budget was not as polished, so it didn't look as good.
Okay, I saw on Instagram or something. There's a show called Uzumaki. Or something.
Yes.
That's like this horror thing where the first episode was like incredible quality and then it plummeted and it surely, or people were like, is it intentional? Or, but I read that like the show was like got cut.
I know that one got delayed a lot of times. I don't know if that's like the quality is bad. Cause like what happens is, you know, the first season has like some stuff, like the second season has some sequences where like they don't, you know, it's like it looks like kind of like low res things, but that looks also the way that the manga does. And like so much of that show is trying to imitate Junji Ito's style in it, like what it looks like. So it almost kind of works for me, even though it's like, you know, it looks rougher, like it doesn't look as clean. But that is like how it would look on the page when you draw somebody in the distance. So it didn't really bother me.
OK.
Scary. I don't really know. Yeah, it's a horror. It's a horror manga. It's a
I've never read a horror. I don't think I've ever been into horror anything. I don't know.
That manga owns. I own that physically. It's good.
I don't know. I guess Attack on Titan is slightly in the horror genre, maybe.
Yeah. No, it is definitely like the first, I guess, you know, several seasons for sure.
The only one I've probably watched. Because I feel like anime, when it's creepy, it's like creepy, like just the like style that they animate the violence in that show gave me the heebie-jeebies, like creepy.
Yeah, there's a lot of like gore violent stuff you can animate pretty well in those.
Yeah, but we are here to cover happy lovey-dovey shows. And speaking of pervs, we get to see Sho in some of these episodes.
Yeah. Boom. Well, I was thinking that was more of the horror thing.
Oh. Right, well.
The horror of if we have to hang out with Sho.
Yeah. Okay, well. Seamless transition. Yep.
Seamless transition. So this week for a voice actor, I tried to look at the voice actor for Yashiro, but this person doesn't do a lot of other stuff. So
damn.
The voice actor for Yashiro is Masahito Kawanago, who plays the character Gaston in the 1997 version of Berserk, who is okay. one of the guys in the mercenary crew. I've never seen Berserk, but I know
me
this.
Neither.
He's also the helicopter pilot named Mike in Resident Evil 4 in both the 2005 original and the 2024 remake.
Okay.
So that's fun. He plays a character named Skull in Power Rangers in Space.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I've never even heard of that.
He plays one of the demons in Inuyasha named Yako.
Yako. I think if I know that one.
It's like in 5 episodes out of like 100, so you probably wouldn't recognize
well,
that.
Well, normally, freaking, yeah, okay.
Inuyasha is long. And then he does like a bunch of additional voices in things like Watch Dogs 2, in one of the Ranma 1/2 OVAs, and in Serial Ooh. Experiments Lane.
Okay.
So this seems to be like one of his major roles.
Gotcha. Well, he's a star to us here.
He's a star to us. We love Yashiro. He shows up in this episode.
He's splendid every time we see him.
He gets to be like the one adult.
Ren is 20.
That's like an adult.
That is incredibly young. Like, not mature age at all in reality.
20?
Yeah, he's 20.
Yeah.
Insane.
I mean, yeah. Because
they make
I guess
him, so. I don't know, like, Kyoko seems to look up to
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
so
I'm dreading the point where we have
older.
To talk about the age gap. We're eventually going to have to talk about the age gap where she is 16 and he is 20.
Mm hmm. I don't know. What's the age of consent in Japan? It's probably lower than it is here.
Guess what? I don't really care what the age of consent is for stuff. I still think the age gap is not the greatest of all time.
It's just at that phase in
life. We
don't
have to talk about
that now. Okay, yeah. This is not that bad if they were older, but it's just that currently she's a delicate flower.
Yeah, well, that's because the age gap isn't about the actual number. It's about like what you, where you are.
Power dynamic.
To the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not about that.
Okay, well.
Anyway, we'll talk about that when it becomes relevant, which thankfully is not relevant exactly at this moment, but we're approaching it.
We're building the...
We're building up to be being yeah. like, all right, so why is this happening? Okay. Right now, we are at Skip Beat Stage 16, which is called Dislike versus Dislike.
Again,
we open on Kyoko.
The weird title, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, I don't really get the other titles make sense, I feel like, for the most part. This one does not make a ton of sense to me.
I can talk about what I think it means later once we're done with it.
Okay.
Sorry. Shutting up.
That's okay. We open on Kyoko being crushed by a collapsed Ren. She notices that he has a fever and tries to get up, but she can't push him off of her. Through the wall, she hears Ren co-star talking loudly and is annoyed that she couldn't remember her lines earlier, leading Ren to getting sicker as like they had to stay in the rain for like retakes of that shoot, which also is the reason why she's trapped on the floor right now. Kyoko's like, I could remember those lines. How come she couldn't remember those lines? And then she starts reciting them from memory. And upon hearing this, Ren wakes up and then he says his lines like in response back as the OP plays. We cut back and Ren gets up and Kyoko thinks that he's still like acting in character, like he's broken out of his like, what's the word I'm looking for? Fatigue.
Stupor.
To be in character because all he knows is work. He starts to walk off and she tells him that he's sick and should take the rest of the day off, but he just gives her a stern look and then leaves. He works the rest of the day. Kyoko comments that he must love acting. The workday ends and Kyoko is missing. Ren gets off of work and finds that Kyoko has like run to the store to buy a bunch of medical stuff. She gives him a cooling pack and makes him some shaved ice to eat. But she does this while they're in a car. So she just, she like makes shaved ice in a car.
On the go.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
She also bought a bunch of food that she starts to prepare also in the car. Ren thinks to himself that she really put a lot of effort into this and that this might be her being her true self.
That was dumb.
He reflects on
that. Yeah. He's like, how does she know my throat hurts and I can't swallow? Like, dude, because everybody knows, because everyone's been sick before. It's not special.
It's the most like, oh, yes. Ren is not like a human being. He does not know how to be normal at all. Like he can only be like head down in his work or like Mr. Charming Man. But as soon as he has to be a regular guy, he's just like, damn, people like know what being sick is like. They didn't just, how do they know? How could they possibly know this?
Oh, man. Wild.
He reflects on his memory of Kyoko when they were young. He thought of her as an overly romantic girl, but then remembers that she also gave 110% on everything. He says that she became his platonic idea of a Japanese girl.
Because he's not from Japan. Hint. No.
Uh-huh.
What? Obviously, he's like, oh.
Am I supposed to pick up on that? I didn't pick up on that.
Because he's like, oh, this is what a Japanese girl is like. Like, he didn't grow up in Japan and was surrounded by Japanese girls.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. We cut back to Ren's apartment. He's lying on his enormous bed as Kyoko changes his ice pack. Dude, this bed is huge.
He needs a big bed.
I mean, he's big, but like, yeah, I know, but it's not even like he's like taking up the whole bed. Like the bed goes out for like another foot. It's enormous. Okay. He says thank you to her and calls her Kyoko-chan, which surprises her. She goes back to study, but realizes she's just been thinking about how Ren called her that instead of actually like doing any work because she's still trying to pass her entrance exam to get into high school. It's the next morning. Ren feels better. He walks out to Kyoko in the kitchen making food, but she was also like trying to study at the same time. So she ends up messing up the meal. She has him drink this gross vegetable smoothie and he hates it. We learn that his memory of last night is hazy and Kyoko is unsure if he remembers calling her Kyoko-chan. Ren thinks to himself how wrong he's been about Kyoko this whole time and how she really is acting now like how he remembered her in the past. Cut to Ren's. What?
Sorry, I missed the timing on when you were taking.
Yeah, okay. I take a pause after these things.
It,
that's when you should say stuff.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. A lot. I'm seeing these episodes in particular. A lot of context is being cut out. Because he's like, I feel, or he's like, did you dress me? Like, did a young girl have to change me into pajamas?
Oh, he did say that.
And in the manga, she says like no, and it flashes to how she got him to get changed, where she just kept saying the lines over and over so he would wake up, and then she'd like act like it was a line and say get dressed and stuff like that, using acting to like make him do these things. So interesting cut.
I do like how this is portraying him as like all he knows is acting.
For sure.
So we cut back to Ren's film shoot. Kyoko keeps looking at Ren instead of studying. She gets annoyed and starts to wonder if he hates her or like, does she still hate him or like, oh, what's going on here? And while thinking about this, she does an impression of him with her like doll that she makes. And he catches her doing this impression and he tells her that her impression's pretty good. And she is embarrassed. Ren steps out to read the next script for like the next scene or whatever. And while reading, he thinks more about Kyoko and how she is dedicating her time to him, even though she doesn't like him. Kyoko goes out to find him because she needs to like bring him something, but sees that he's studying his lines, but he can't see her because he's like sitting on like a stairwell. So she's like under the stairwell. He's trying to remember his lines, but he can't because he's sick. Kyoko hears him struggling and figures it might be easier to remember your lines if you have a partner to, you know, hear the responses. So from beneath the stairs he's on, she starts to say the lines. Ren says his lines in response, and then he walks down to see her. He wonders if she's really an amateur who's only been at it for 6 months. I mean, look at how good she is reading these lines that she memorized. Crazy. Moko is rubbing off on everybody. Everybody can just remember their lines now. So they're doing the, you know, back and forth until eventually Ren breaks from the scene and compliments Kyoko's acting. Kyoko tells him that she's been learning a lot from the acting courses and that it's been really fun. And Ren is surprised and asks if she's learning to, like, aren't you just learning to act to beat Sho, right? But Kyoko adamantly denies that. He asks why she is, and she says that it's in efforts to recreate herself independent of the expectations of those around her, because she is trying to learn how to become her true self. She comments that Ren probably thinks that's stupid, but she looks up to see Ren smiling genuinely at her. He says that he completely believes her, and Kyoko decides that she doesn't hate him anymore. It's that evening, and she's still staying at Ren's place. She falls asleep while studying, and Ren wakes her up, which freaks her out because he's too nice to her now. Ren comments that she should get some sleep since she had to take care of him yesterday, but she says that she still needs to study. And he's like, well, why do you need to study so much? It's not like you need to get like a perfect score. Like, you could probably pass as is. Kyoko realizes that he's right and she doesn't need to be perfect. She tells him, or no, he tells her to relax and, like, you know, go take a bath or something. And she's like, that would be a good idea. But then she remembers that she's in a guy's apartment. So she's like, I can't take a bath in a guy's apartment. And he's like, what? You think I'm going to like peek at you or something? Come on. Who do you think you're talking to? And then they like go back and forth a little bit as we end of the day. It's the next day and Kyoko and Ren are stuck in traffic. Kyoko says they're going to be late, but their taxi driver says he can't do anything about that. Ren floats the idea of taking the bus, but Kyoko is like, dude, you're too famous to be on a public bus. Then she sees a guy riding a bike and gets out of the taxi. She commandeers the bike and tells Ren to get on, and Ren thinks that it's a silly plan, but if she can get him there on time, then she will get a 100-point stamp from him as we cut to credits.
Nice.
Bonding. They bond this episode. This is the bonding episode.
Yeah. Well,
they don't
we'll
hate each other anymore.
The dynamic, right? I guess like the dislike versus dislike is like they're both kind of at odds with each other for different reasons. And those reasons kind of get addressed or like
they actually
resolved.
Aren't at odds with each other. It's a misunderstanding, right?
Yeah.
Like, Ren's weird hang-up is that he thinks that she's only doing stuff to get revenge, which, like, you know, if he'd ever talked to a normal person, I think he would realize that nobody would actually, like, do that.
That's true. He doesn't
That's
have
just, like, an excuse.
Normal skill set of a human. So.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, how much he just kind of takes people's at their word, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like.
Well, that's, like, when we saw him agonizing over the script for that, like, very common understood phrase when she was in the bow suit. It was like, how do I know what tune it is?
Yeah,
but it's like so apparent what that means, but he didn't get it,
right? Well, it's interesting because like I assume that a lot of acting has to do with the fact that like sometimes characters say not exactly what they mean, and so you have to like figure out what they're trying to, what they are doing, because you want to act like the way that they mean, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't reflect like the dialogue, right? Which is I assume like a lot of that's you know, in these episodes, it's always like, hey, what is my character supposed to be like thinking while doing this? Or like, at what point am I supposed to make like internally the decision to start acting a different way as a character? But I guess he's just not that good at like looking at that in real life. I guess he just like separates work from hanging out with people, like the real world.
Well, all he does is work. Like, I don't think he's hanging out with people at all.
Yeah, we don't see him like have any friends, huh?
No, just Mr. Yoshiro.
Like, he hangs out with Yashiro, his manager. But that's, like, his manager. That doesn't count.
Yeah. And talk shows. He just, yeah, when he's not acting, he's, like, promoting his acting. So he's keeping up the facade of the celebrity and not cutting loose like I need to, as you say.
Yeah, or even, like, going to a movie. Like, do you think he watches the movie? Like, what is he doing? You know what I mean?
He'd probably give them a copy. A personal copy before release or something.
I mean, he probably has to go to like the screening or whatever, the one where they have everybody there.
Yeah. Premiere.
The premiere, yeah. So, I mean, I guess he sees that. But like, you know, what does he do for fun? What does he do outside of this? I don't think he does anything.
No, I don't think so either.
This is so sad. I mean, Kyoko at least has Moko as a friend now.
Yeah. And making cursed dolls and cooking and all. Yeah.
Sad.
Wild.
Ren is sad. But they're connecting. They don't hate each other anymore. And all it took was Ren needing to be nursed back to health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. One thing. The subtitles, when he says Kyoko-chan, they say Kyoko dear. And I'm like, that's so weird. Just say Kyoko-chan in the subtitles. Well, like, they're making it seem like.
For localization, I mean, how do you.
But like.
If this is the first anime you're watching, you're not going to know what the context of that is.
Way more than. what Chan means, you know? Like, it's making it seem like he's saying the word deer and not just her name with the honorific. It's so weird.
Yeah, but like him saying her name with the honorific is like more, like has weight to it in a way that it wouldn't if they, like, somebody else said it to her. You know what I mean?
I know, but like, it's so weird. As someone who understands.
It's hard to localize. It's hard to localize that.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, how do you communicate that, like, he's being in, like,
familiar. You know,
familiar, but in, like, a more intimate way than regular familiarity.
I don't know. I hate it.
Okay.
Sorry.
They should just know. Watchers should just know exactly what the intention of the line
reading
is.
Other animes don't do that. They just show the honorific in the subtitles.
Yeah, I know. But like, again, this was like localized at a specific time. It depends on what like you think the audience is going to know. Like, this is the part of a localization that's hard, which is like, you don't know whatever, like what they've watched besides this.
I guess. I know. And all the manga I read, you just go to the very back page and explain like things like that. Like, it would have terms there. Or at least because the manga has a lot of Japanese references, so she always puts like these notes on like, oh, this is the context of what this means, blah blah blah. So, but that doesn't come with an anime.
Yeah, TV shows do not have glossaries, unfortunately.
Okay, moving on.
All right, well, they're friends now, I guess.
They're friends.
Maybe more.
No.
Maybe they want to be more. Maybe Kyoko Ren specifically wants to be more, and Kyoko doesn't seem to care very much.
They're both so stubborn, neither one would admit it. Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay, anyways. Stage
17 is called Date of Fate.
Date.
We open on Kyoko getting ready for school. She tells us that she's been Ren's fill-in manager for a while. And also in the meantime, between last episode and this episode, she passed her entrance exam, so she can go to school now. She bids the bosses farewell as she rides her bike to school. I have a comment about her school uniform.
What? It's so basic? Unremarkable?
It's like not that interesting. Yeah, because it's like a flat skirt.
Does she ride a bike with a skirt? She's just going to be flapping
it's not that long of a skirt.
Panties everywhere. No, I'm saying it's going to be.
You sit on it. What do you mean?
Well, you sit on the bottom, but if you're pedaling, you're moving your legs and the skirt isn't that short. So if you're moving, people would be getting panty shots when you're pedaling. And with the movement of air, it would, in the front. Because it's not like it's a fitted skirt. It's a flared skirt, so it is more malleable to the elements.
I mean, I guess so. It's not like that short.
I was like, damn. No, it's not like super short. But yeah, it's not a very, because it's like a celebrity's school that you think would be super flashy or just more interesting.
Well, I don't like the blue bow tie. She's a blue bow tie and it doesn't match the skirt. And I'm like, they need to do better on this. I love the bow tie.
It's not a school life one. So it's not like, she's constantly, and that's the only thing we're going to see her wearing.
Yeah. If it was a different color, if it matched the skirt better, I would like it better.
It's like a green plaid skirt. I don't remember if there's any blue highlights in it or not. But red would probably go better. Or just black.
It's also just like, I don't know. It's weird to like match a bow tie, which sits pretty high up on your torso, to highlights in a skirt, which sits pretty low. Cause then you have this entire like void white space where your blouse is. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but
I don't remember.
It's too much space. There needs to be something else in there, you know?
Well, it's
like, it should be embroidered.
What is the winter? What does the winter one look like? Cause maybe the coat at least is cute. The blazer. I don't know.
It probably works with the blazer, maybe. We never learn what seasons it is in this show. Like what time of year it is necessarily, do we?
I don't know.
I guess it also takes place over like a shockingly short period of time.
It's only been 6 months, yeah. I feel like, no, because she referenced like in the commercial audition, like, oh, back in February, I like lost all my happiness or something. So February is when it happened. It's been 6 months. Then it's like August.
Okay.
That would make it warm there.
I'm not really paying attention to like, is Ren wearing a coat? Maybe I should be. I should be paying attention to Ren's outfits.
Yeah, I know. Some of them are Lego. Too many buttons, dude. Like
he wears a lot of layers, my guy. It's hot. You gotta be hot, dude.
Yeah, he's always in pants and dress shoes, and then sometimes wearing a hat. Hat makes it hotter. But I guess he's like trying to shield his identity so he's not harassed constantly. Blah, blah, blah.
That's, I mean, I guess. He apparently never thinks about it, though, because he's like, why don't we just take the bus?
No, yeah.
She's excited to go to school, even though she says her school's kind of abnormal. And we get a scene where she's like in her fine ass fine arts class, and everybody's talking about how they have to take time off to go do like photo shoots and stuff. So you know, I guess she went to like a magnet school for like specifically these types of showbiz kids. I don't know.
Yeah, just because they all have stuff going on, they need flexible schedules.
Yeah, that which I guess makes sense. Let's see. She realizes that she needs to go to work after school, so she heads right on over. On her way, she sees the soda commercial play on one of those like big billboards on the side of buildings. And some random girls comment that Moco is very talented, but they can take or leave Kyoko. And Kyoko is distraught, but carries on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to LME. Yeah, no, I mean, she looked fine.
Yeah, she looked happy.
But they don't like her. No, she's too serious.
It's the hair color, girl. It was a bad choice. It's too orange.
I like it.
And they refer to it as light brown. It is orange as can be. It matches her eyes, at least, I guess.
Yeah, okay. She could definitely be like a, I don't know, she could show up on like the Muppets or something. You know what I mean? Like she's got that kind of like big, flashy profile with the orange hair.
Yeah, that's true. Like her natural setting is to be very like formal and, you know, traditional interactions. But then she can be so extreme at the same time.
It's good. Like, you know, I would always recognize her if I saw her in something and she had that hair.
She should not. I mean, they always put her in a wig, so. As her stage name. She should have picked a different name.
She probably doesn't get to pick, right? Like it's probably like she probably isn't big enough to have a stage name yet.
I guess we'll see it.
Cause like commercials don't have like credit sequences. You know what I mean?
No, they don't.
So she doesn't have like a persona yet.
Yeah.
Let's see here. She gets to LME and Ren calls her. He teases her for walking around so boldly, even though she's a TV star now, what with the commercial and everything. She looks up to see him standing a floor above her. She goes to see him. He's with Yashiro, who's back and was he sick or something? Yeah, I don't know. He's fine now. He tells Ren tells her that Mr. Sawara gave him her phone number, and he asks why she's not wearing her Love Me uniform, and she says that she came straight away from school. Ren sees her in her school outfit and says that's good because he wants to see her in the outfit, and like it really suits her, which embarrasses both Kyoko and Yashiro, who's like, dude, what are you saying?
Yeah, that was cute.
Why are you complimenting her outfit?
Well, because he's like the most desirable man in Japan or whatever, and he's just throwing, so you know, him saying anything complimentary would make most girls swoon, and even Yashiro, a grown ass man, is embarrassed.
This whole like all of the stuff that's happening is so funny from Yashiro's perspective, because it's like, oh, you were like pinning her to the wall near the girls' bathroom a couple weeks ago, now you're like way too flirtily commenting on her outfit, like what's going on?
Yeah,
it's very good. Kyoko thanks him for taking the pressure off of her last night, and Yashiro wonders why these two are suddenly on such good terms. Ren says he wanted to thank her for being his fill-in manager, and then he gives her a 100-point stamp. Kyoko gets bashful, saying she didn't really set out to do anything to make him thank her, and Yashiro's like, ah, you're being humble. Like, no manager would nurse their client back to health. That's like totally not in the job description. And Kyoko's like, wait, really? I thought it was in the job description. And then she explains that she was doing all that stuff because if he missed work, that would like be her failing her job, right? Ren hears this and is displeased. He takes he hands her the stamp slate back, and she sees that in addition to the 100-point stamp, he has taken off 10 points, giving her a total of 90 points. Kyoko is confused and says that he says that he used the wrong stamp. Oops. Elsewhere in the talent section, Mr. Sawara gets a call from Queen Records about wanting to shoot a promotional video for Show Fua. We cut to Show playing Kyoko's soda commercial on like a recorded TV, like he recorded it. Sho asks his manager if she knows who the actress is, and she says her name is supposed to be Kyoko. Sho wonders that if this Kyoko is the same as his Kyoko, but he hasn't seen Kyoko since she changed her hair, so he can't be sure. But he thinks it probably is.
Although he has seen her at the gas station.
He didn't know it.
Nope.
He didn't know it, though. We cut to Mr. Sawara telling Kyoko that another producer wants to work with her on Sho's promotion. Kyoko flat out refuses, and Sawara is confused because, like, she wants to meet him, right? Like, he thinks that she wants to do that. But she refuses again and storms off. She's venting to herself in the Love Me locker room when a dazed Moko comes in. She sits down and tells Kyoko that she landed a gig in a made-for-TV drama because the director saw her commercial. She comments that the director actually dropped the other actress that was slated for the part. But she says that, and she feels kind of bad, but she says that, you know, she wants to be a full-time actress, so I guess it's okay if she has to use others as a stepping stone to, like, get there. Which feels a little harsh. I mean, it's not really your fault that that happened.
She doesn't say she feels bad at all. She's like, I don't feel guilty one bit.
Well, she says, like, I feel a little bad, but I guess if I want this, I don't feel guilty.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Guess that sucks. I know.
Kyoko calls it cutthroat.
And I'm like, okay. It's a weird thing to say that, because it's like, it's definitely not your fault at all. Like, somebody else made that decision. But whatever. Kyoko hears this and thinks that Sho is using her as a stepping stone and decides that she isn't going to take that lying down. She decides to do the promo and use him as a stepping stone for her career. She tells Mr. Sawara that she'll do the shoot. And he's like, ah, so she did want to meet him after all. Cool. Elsewhere, Yashiro tells Ren that Kyoko got a new gig, apparently. And Ren's like, oh, yeah, I didn't hear about that. And Yashiro's confused. Isn't like, hey, didn't you two, like, get close recently? Like, you don't, like, talk regularly? And Ren's like, not really. Yashiro's like, come on, man. I know that you're, like, nicer to her now. You don't have to, like, try to fool me. But Ren is incredulous. Yashiro tells him he needs to ask him about something later. And then on the plane, Ren hopes that Kyoko doesn't live too much of her life motivated by revenge. He thinks it would be best that she didn't see Sho for a while so she can forget all about him. Cut to Kyoko going to Sho's company with an aura of malice. They make her wait in the conference room for so long that she gets pissed and decides to step out. But as she's about to go for the door, it opens right in front of her, and we see none other than Sho Fua himself. There he is. She definitely saw him. Immediately.
Mm-hmm. It's a good
yes.
Shift.
Yeah, it's a good cut, because those are like, those two scenes are interspersed where, like, Ren is like, I hope she doesn't see him so she can forget about him, and then she opens the door and he's right there. We get a cut of Kyoko's inner council of Kyoko ghosts slash demons that control her thoughts. They decide that the best course of action is to pretend to be someone else so he won't cancel the shoot, because he's like, well, if he figures out it's like the old me, he'll probably just like cancel it and it'll ruin my opportunity to get a leg up. She ekes out a smile and gives him a hard, playful slap. She asks to shake his hand, and Sho is shocked because Kyoko would never act like that. Kyoko keeps up an overly expressive girly persona as Sho begins to doubt if this Kyoko is the same as the one he knew. She starts aggressively flirting with him, but mostly just kind of like so she could shove him down. She's annoyed that she has to do this. She's like, I'm just acting like one of the girls in my class.
Yeah, she calls him Jesus Christ. Nickname, Fuwachi.
Yes. She's like, God, it sucks having to do this with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sho's producer shows up and we learn that he calls her Milky, which is a disgusting nickname. I hate Sho.
It's disgusting.
It's terrible.
I don't also think he because calls her it's because
she
manga.
Has huge boobs. Yeah.
Oh, God. What did they say? F cup? That's pretty big, I guess.
Yeah, she apologizes to Kyoko for the wait, and we learn that her name is Haruki Asami. Kyoko is shocked to learn that Sho's producer has been a woman this whole time, because she's like, oh, I always looked up the stuff like when he was, you know, doing things, and I always assumed it was a guy, because I guess the name Asami is masculine. She looks her up and down and notices that she's a total babe with an F-cup size and great legs, and comments that she is like the perfect woman. Sho tells Asami that he brought Kyoko, and Asami starts to fill her in. And then they can fill her in, essentially. And then he starts, like, pretty aggressively flirting with Asami. Kyoko's like, what the hell is happening? As he puts his hands on her hips and tries to peck her on the cheek, but she, like, pushes him away.
Yeah, because she's like, what happened to your manager? Like, weren't you seeing her?
Yeah. It took me a while to remember that, like, oh, this isn't the same person as the manager. This is a different person. This is wild. You're like a whole-ass adult, Asami. What are you doing?
Okay. I think it's just he's like a petulant child who wants to hit on everyone. So they just tolerate him because, you know, they don't have him in a bad mood when he has to like go and perform and stuff. I don't think they're like actually intimate with him. I feel like they're just humoring him.
No. I mean, she pushes him away. It's one of two horrifying things, right?
Yeah.
Number one, it's either this where it's just like, oh, you know, he's just like a harmless little kid. Like, whatever. We'll just like go along with it. It's kind of cute, you know, that kind of thing, because they don't seem mad about it. Right. Which is bad for obvious reasons. The alternative is that this is being a woman in the entertainment industry just means you get constantly harassed by every guy. So you just have to put up with this shit all the time. And so you're just so like numb to it now. That like, yeah, I guess the like star would put his hand on your hip, and I guess you just have to grin and bear it, which is terrible.
I have a correction. Okay, I just grabbed the manga volume that this happens in. So we're at volume 7. He calls her Miruki as the nickname. And I think Haruki is the first name that sounds like a man. And I don't know why you changed it to that, but it's not Milky in the freaking manga. What's wrong with these people?
I feel like Miruki is how you would say Milky, though.
Is it?
Oh, let me see. Gshow.org. Let's go look.
Oh, dear.
Believe it or not, this is not a thing that people say very often.
What is it?
Okay, so you say Milky Way. As Miruki Way. Oh, yeah. It's the okay, same. It's phonetically fine. The same.
Damn it. Okay.
Which does definitely make it sound like he's talking about her boobs. Because F cup size, which like, holy shit.
You got special order those babies. You can't go to Victoria's Secret and get them.
Yeah, she's got to be doing some lat exercises to get that to make her back knot.
Some people are just cursed, okay? And it sucks. Everybody wants what they don't have. So I'm sure she's like, yeah.
Yeah, that has to be really heavy. But, you know, whatever. Hey, if you get the right bra, I guess it's fine.
Anyways.
Kyoko is dazed.
Cup size by sight. Kyoko, she like immediately knew what instantly, size they were.
Instantly does.
Maybe she's a little insecure.
Dude, maybe she's just into Asami. She's like, oh, she's the perfect woman.
I mean,
hell yeah.
Yeah, her shirt is heinous, but she is pretty.
Yeah, the outfit is bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Which, you know, is fine because you're the producer. Uh-huh, so who cares what your outfit is?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Kyoko is dazed by the revelation that Sho has been palling around with hot older women while she was being his damn housekeeper the whole time. She has renewed anger and has to hide it for now. They go to the meeting room and we meet fellow actress Mimori Nanokura, who is also going to be in the video. She is into Sho and suspicious of Kyoko. Yep.
Something to say.
Yeah.
In the manga, she freaking goes to the same school as Kyoko and they kind of know each other. And she almost like, because she's like, oh, what the hell are you doing here, Kyoko Mo? And then Kyoko covers her mouth before she can say her last name. She doesn't want Sho to find out. So wild that they just, I guess it still makes sense without that knowledge, but because she kind of pesters her. She's one of the girls kind of mean to her at school.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Crazy.
We don't really get anything about the school life in this episode, which they all sit down and discuss the promo. Asami gives an outline of the shoot, which is going to be a fantasy setting about a devil boy and two pure-hearted angels. The devil boy has never been in love before, but falls in love with one of the angels immediately. Love at first sight. However, their love is forbidden because it will destroy them both. What?
Devil boy sounds silly. Devil.
Well, this whole thing is ridiculous. the other angel discovers this, that they fell in love, and then tries to kill the devil. Upon hearing this premise, Kyoko enthusiastically and volunteers to be the one that tries to kill the devil. She's like, I want to do this. And Asami is like, oh, great. Like, because that's how I wanted to cast it. But I was worried you like wouldn't want to be the antagonist. And Kyoko says that she spent every waking hour wishing she could kill a devil.
Mm-hmm. This exact devil.
Yes, this exact devil. Don't worry about the context. Don't worry about my enthusiasm. It's just because I love the premise so much. Kyoko goes to the bathroom and tries to physically wash her hands of Shofua, being like, God, I had to shake his hand earlier. As she decides how she's going to try to, like, play this off as, like, I hate this guy, but I can't hate this guy too much because I have to pretend to be a different Kyoko. She's walking back to the room and she overhears Mimori talking shit about Ren to Sho because Sho is still insecure about Ren being a hotter guy than him. Kyoko realizes that the way Mimori is comforting him is the way that she used to comfort him back in the day. So she's like, oh, Jesus Christ, this woman is just like me, how I was. Oh, no.
The ghost of Kyoko's past.
The ghost of Kyoko. This is who she was haunting her. They get served lunch, but Mimori has made Sho a lunch instead of him getting one from like whatever catering place they got it from. He's annoyed and ungrateful.
Back to that last scene. She's like, oh, she's just like me. And then she's like, oh, never mind. She's got huge boobs. She's fine. Like, she won't suffer the same fate as me. And yep. Sorry. The bento.
She prepared a lunch for him. He's annoyed and ungrateful, but is like, I guess I'll eat it anyway. Kyoko is depressed having to watch another girl get treated like shit by Sho. No, this isn't where it happens. He takes a bite of the pre-prepared lunch, but doesn't like it and is about to spit it out. And Kyoko thinks that Mimori must have put her heart and soul into making that, so he can't, like, spit it out. You can't refuse this. So she slides him a packet of salt. Sho sees this and stares at her as we cut to credits.
Ooh, cool, but also, girl, you're giving it away.
Giving it away. I mean...
Because I guess it's an egg omelet. I guess some people make it salty and some make it sweet. Which sweet sounds disgusting to me.
That sounds gross.
Egg should be salty.
Yeah. Yep, so here they are together. Though. She has to pretend to be different.
Annoying, but...
Mimori.
He calls naive her little Pochi. He has a nickname.
Yeah, he does that next episode.
For all the girls. Like,
that's what I was like. Does it happen here? No, it happens next episode where he does that. Yeah.
It's because she goes to LME that she brings up Ren.
So
that terrible fake.
That horrible boar, Ren.
Yeah. Well, yes. There's not that much substance to his personality at the moment.
It's true.
He's a robot man.
A little bit. All right.
Sho,
I think we should just go to the next one.
Child. Yep. Do it.
Stage 18 is called Sin Like an Angel. We open on Sho thinking about whether or not Kyoko is the same as, or this Kyoko is the same as old Kyoko. We see Sho in costume looking like a Final Fantasy ass devil elf man. He's got elf ears. He's got weights. He's got like belts. His like shirt is like all the way
stuff.
Open.
Yep.
Body. He's got the little he's got the little chain coming from your fingers down to like a thing on the back of your hand. I don't know what that thing is called. It's like a gauntlet kind of. It's way over the top. Sho keeps debating if it's really her or not. Then he spies a perfume bottle in the shape of a swan that he remembers Kyoko wanting so badly not that long ago that she even gave it her own little nickname. He thinks that he will use this to expose her as the OP plays. We cut to the women's dressing room. Kyoko is freaking out because she thinks she might have given herself away when she slit him that packet of salt last episode. We see Mimori getting her makeup applied and Kyoko is into it. She's like, hell yeah, makeup. Yeah. And she says she can't wait until she gets hers. And Mimori and the makeup artist think that's weird. Like, you're too excited about this. Sho and Asami burst in and Mimori fawns over Sho's demon elf look. Kyoko is also shocked and Sho like walks over to her and is like, ooh, I saw you looking at me. You must really love fairy tale elf stories, huh? And Kyoko's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't love elf fairy tale stories. But Sho keeps pressing the issue, pinning her to the wall and asking her to call her Sho like she used to. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But before he can keep going, Mimori steps in between them and separates them. She's like, what's going on with you two? This is where Ren calls Mimori Pochi.
I think it's
Pochi. Which is, we get a note that says that's a dog's name. He's calling her a dog's name.
Yeah.
And she likes it, I guess. Kyoko is like, thank God that's over with, when Sho pulls out the perfume and says loudly to himself, oh, hey, look at this weird cosmetic I found. Man, if only I could remember what it's called. What's it called again? Oh, yeah, it's called. And then he and Kyoko both say the name Royal Odette at the same time, which is the nickname Kyoko gave it, not the actual name. And Kyoko is still like in love with this product. everyone else in the room like looks kind of weird, and Mimori's like, why did you guys call it that? It's called Royal Snow. Like, what are y'all talking about? And Kyoko realizes that she just said the name that she personally called it, not the actual name, and looks at Sho, who smirks, because now he's confirmed that it's actually her. Dude, I can't believe she gets owned so hard here.
Yeah.
What is this? Is this perfume? I can't tell what this is.
Yeah, it's a perfume just shaped in a swan, which Odette is the name of the swan princess.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good, well, the guy's annoying in that movie, but it's a good Disney movie. I think yep. It's Disney.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Okay.
It's not.
It's good. The guy's dumb, though. But yeah, so, you know, she gets like a little in her head and like fantasizing whenever she sees anything cute, kind of how she was just like drooling watching Mimori getting her makeup done. Just that's her weakness, is all these cosmetic things. And so she just dreams about it since she can't actually have them normally. And he yep. knows that because he does he know her because they did live together. So right. just like she knows his weaknesses, he knows hers.
He was paying enough attention to realize yeah. that this would work.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to Yashiro and Ren, and Yashiro's like, you didn't seriously confuse the stamps last episode, right? You're just being mean to her. And Ren says that he won't give her 100 points just to satisfy her ego. And Yashiro's like, oh, I get it. You took off 10 points when she implied that she was just doing like the work for herself. Like she thought it was part of her job and not that she was like specially taking care of you. And Ren's like, yeah, I guess so. And Yashiro's like, I get it, man. Like, obviously, she was just doing that stuff because it's her job. But I guess it's still surprising coming from somebody you like that, like, you know, they were just doing that because of their job. And Ren's like, what do you mean? I don't like her. Like, yeah, sure, I don't hate her anymore. But really, I just subtracted those points on principle so that the love me section can work out the way that President Lori described. And Yashiro was like, what are you talking about? I see the way you look at her. You're so on one right now.
I know, poor Yashiro. He, like, sees everything and has to, like, sit with the information by himself so much.
Yashiro is the most, like, dude, you could just be normal about this. Like, it's not yes. that big of a deal.
Yes. Well, because he, like, speculates on Ren's past because Ren doesn't open up. So he's like, oh, you were, like, up to no good as a kid, weren't you? You were, like, a little punk back in your day, right? So you just have to, like, come up with all these scenarios. Like, thanks. Might be Ren, because Ren will not tell him anything about himself.
Do we think being Ren's manager would suck, kind of? Like, I'm sure, yeah, like, you know, he does so everything, busy. He's good at everything, but then it's like, the guy never talks about anything, he never fucking eats, he never takes care of himself, it yeah. must be, like, kind of annoying.
Probably have no vacation days. Ren's certainly not taking a vacation, so neither is your manager.
Hopefully he's getting paid pretty well, though.
I don't know. You think managers get paid well?
I think they get like a cut of what the client makes, right? And Ren's probably making pretty good money.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, let's see. We cut back to Sho's promo shoot. Mimori asks Sho what the relationship with Kyoko or what his relationship with Kyoko is. And we get a flashback where Kyoko asks him if she's going to fire her or if he's going to fire her when he realizes that it's her. And he says, no, she can't hurt him anyway. So, like, do your best and see if you can really get revenge on me, huh? Like, he's daring her to. Back in the present, he tells Mimori that Kyoko is his enemy. And she's like, what? Kyoko walks out in costume, which consists of, like a fantasy flowy, like, long floor-length dress. And, like, this enormous blonde wig. It's huge.
Yes, it is wild. But she looks so pretty.
She does look pretty. She's got like makeup done and stuff like that. I mean, she's supposed to be an angel.
She's
I don't
got
know if
blue
I get like
contacts.
Angel. Yeah. She got blue.
Well,
contacts.
They don't really say it explicitly. I don't know if they will in the anime at all, but they're angels. So Haruki, she said, we'll add the wings in CGI after we shoot everything. So they're just not wearing wings now, but there will be in the final. Thing.
Yeah.
Smoking hot.
Yeah, looking good. Sho is stunned that she looks so good and is in disbelief that it's really Kyoko. She curtsies to him and then kicks the shit out of him. Then she grabs him by the collar and is like, never thought I could be like this, huh? Newsflash, the nice innocent girl you knew was gone. I'm gonna make you wish you were dead. God. Asami walks over and is like, what's the deal with you two? Sho says that they used to be childhood friends, but she's different now. And like, Sho is still in disbelief over how she's acting. Sho's manager, who up to this point I'd forgotten about, her name's Shoko, is like, I can't believe that was the same girl we saw in episode one. They all walk on set. Mamori is upset because she can't be friends with Kyoko because she hates Sho. She's like, I hate this chick. This chick sucks. How am I supposed to pretend to be like sisters with her or whatever for this shoot? And Sho is like, yeah, you know, it is kind of weird how all the other girls always hate you, Kyoko. And Kyoko snaps back that it's his fault because he was overly friendly with her all through like their childhood. And the other girls were jealous of that. So she couldn't make any friends with any girls. And Sho's like, wait, really? And Kyoko's like, yeah, dude. Mamori gets frustrated and is like, I need you two to stop arguing over stuff. I don't understand what you're talking about.
FOMO.
FOMO. Asami, Kyoko, and the other like and some other staff member meets backstage. Asami explains that the shoot doesn't have any dialogue, so they're all supposed to like act through emoting on their faces because like it's a music video, so the music's just gonna play in the background. But since Mamori hates Kyoko now, that'll make things kind of hard. The staff member apologizes to Kyoko, and Kyoko's like, it's cool, we'll just like deal with it, like, you know, I can pretend that we're friends, I'm an actor. She thinks that she needs the shoot to go well or her revenge won't work out because this has to be a stepping stone for her career. Nearby, Sho explains to Mamori that him and Kyoko are over, but Mamori comments that he keeps looking at her. Why does he keep looking at her? We got a montage of the shoot with Sho's music playing over it, and I kind of like his music. I kind of like the song.
Yeah, I'm sure like Sho's like any anime based off a star, it's probably someone like an actual artist using it as like their own stepping stone to get a little famous by having their stuff in the anime.
Oh, sure.
He's like a visual like, K good, guy, actually. Kinda. I think is his genre. Mm-hmm. How crazy he dresses and stuff.
In the montage, we see Sho having difficulty not staring at Kyoko. He thinks about how hard he tried to deny that he was staring at Kyoko to Mamori, but he couldn't seem to even do that very well. Asami walks up and is like, Sho, you need to pay attention to Kyoko. You see how good she is at acting? Like, she can act all playful with Mamori even though 10 minutes ago she told her that she hated her. That's because she takes the job seriously, just like you need to do for these scenes. The upcoming scene is where Kyoko kills Sho, is about to be shot. Sho thinks about Kyoko and we get a momentary flashback where after the scene with Mamori, he tells Kyoko that he's surprised that she can act. And she says that she wouldn't have even gotten into it if he hadn't dumped her, and Asami wonders what that could mean. Mamori asks Kyoko what that means. She's like, did you two go out? And Kyoko is like, oh, dude, I don't have time to explain this to you, but like, the relationship was bad. It's not good in the way you're probably thinking. In the hallway, Sho and Shoko are walking. Shoko comments that he can't, or he didn't say that Kyoko was like his maid at the time, and Sho was like, yeah, I couldn't bring myself to like say that out loud to everybody. Shoko is like, oh, I bet you're feeling guilty about that, huh? And he says, no. Because in his mind, she still belongs to him. So he has every right to do whatever he wants to her. And then he walks off. And Shoko thinks that that's a terrible thing to say, but then wonders what'll happen if he actually starts to fall in love with her the way she is now. Joe sucks.
Yeah, he does. It's like,
I own this woman for some reason.
Yep. Yeah, he's just a little shit.
And I guess Shoko just doesn't. She's mean.
Fully aware that he is, but she is his manager, so. Ugh, it's just her job.
Get another job. Just get a new client. The show isn't that good, right?
Well, he probably is making a lot of money. So if she does cut, like you said, then maybe it's worth it. I don't know. He is quite. I feel like he would be in so many scandals, like with how he behaves.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, he'd be getting canceled nowadays.
Yeah.
He'd be getting canceled and then he'd have to like, come back and get a Netflix special about how he got canceled. And it would be so annoying.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ugh. The murder scene starts. Kyoko's got to choke Sho and throw him off a tower. Kyoko is super pumped for this scene, and Sho thinks that she's being so defiant, like she actually does want to devour him. Because I guess he's like kind of into this now. We're getting like a weird psychosexual vibe coming from this guy.
What?
Being like,
what
do you mean? The girl I own is being so defiant against me now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He thinks that she's gotten too good too fast and he needs to prove that he's better. The scene rehearsal starts and Kyoko just immediately starts choking the shit out of Sho. Asami's like, stop, you're choking him for real. You need to not do that. Kyoko mm-hmm. apologizes to Asami, but asks if her character is supposed to like turn into a devil at the end. So like, shouldn't she be choking him with like vigor, like with some malice? And Asami's like, well, she becomes a devil after she kills him. So like, you need to still be an angel while you're choking him. So you need to choke him angelically. Kyoko's like, all right, I'll just try to think angel thoughts. They try the shot again. She's choking him less hard, but still for real and still clearly angry. So Asami calls cut. She tells Kyoko that she needs to think about being an angel like she did in the previous scene with Momori when they were like hanging out as like, you know, sisters. Kyoko thinks to herself that she could act in the Momori scene because she was imagining Momori as Moko, her actual friend. But it's not going to work for this because she doesn't have any analog for Sho other than Sho, nope. A guy she hates.
Mm. Yeah.
She's wondering what she should do as they take a break, and Sho walks over to taunt her. He's like, oh, for all that talk, this is the best you can do, huh? You can't even choke me properly. So I guess give me your best performance as we cut to credits.
Yeah, that would be so annoying, right? Using her words against him.
Dude, he wants to get choked by her properly. I'm telling you, this is like some psychosexual thing. My property is so defiant of me. She's defying me so much and she's going to choke me. I think he wants to get dominated, you know?
I feel like, I don't know. This is shoujo, but that can't be the thing. It can't be.
Oh, come on. Ah. You can have a little fun.
Oh, okay.
This was written by an adult. He's calling his producer Milky.
I hate it.
He's like sitting on his manager's lap.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know?
Bad. Yeah, I don't know. I think he'll be, like, even if he's going to be so in denial about being like, oh yeah, Kyoko, hot now, or anything like that, because he did throw her away. So now he can't admit that maybe it was a bad idea to throw her away because he didn't know that she was a hidden gem. So he's got to like continue to disparage her to justify the loss of her, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Whatever.
How he's kind of into it. Well, even his manager is like, damn, what if he falls in love with her when she's like this? Because he seems to be kind of into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because he is.
Well, that's not happening, dude. She freaking hates you.
No, she hates you.
She and you literally just tried to kill you twice.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yep. Good episodes. I like that we get the explicit thing where she says in an episode ago that she's doing acting because she's trying to recreate herself outside of everybody else's expectations. That's good. That's the character motivation I wanted this whole time. And I got it. Episode 18, 17. I continue to get everything I want.
Well, it is at the moment 50 volume manga. So like there's a lot.
Oh, you said we're in volume 7?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so naturally we're going to slowly get progress because this is simply the beginning of the show. But I guess it's mostly just establishing why she's doing it, her motivations, making some friends along the way, starting to get gigs. But
yeah, I mean, I think this is good. Like, her ascent seems pretty reasonable. Like, it's not just like,
it's happening quite quickly. It is 6 months.
Yeah. That is, but it's like, these are smaller things. You know what I mean?
I guess maybe the Japanese industry is just more like approachable, or like they're not as, well, this is also before freaking influencers and stuff, but maybe they were more, or there's less competition. Well, I mean, maybe it's a smaller industry there.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, I think this is more of like, this is because it's a story and we need to start moving a little bit. Oh, okay. But, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's not like unreasonable. Art. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah. it could have been more unrealistic in the jump to things. But we're moving in pretty good progress. I feel like everything makes sense up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, again, her being genuine, the fact that she gives 110% at everything. And we do see her focusing on the aspects of like her work that, you know, shows that she's taking it seriously and also like demonstrates why she would be good at stuff when she's like, oh, I was like picturing Moko as like the person I was acting with. To like get that scene to work. You know what I mean? Like she's just doing stuff on her own kind of, or, you know, mm-hmm. without telling us. which I think is good.
Yeah. So what do you think's going to happen now? She's in this dilemma of wanting to murder.
Oh, she's going to figure it out. She's going to figure out how to act like an angel. She's probably going to be like, I just need to act like stoic, like Ren does, and then figure it out.
Hmm.
I think she's just, I don't think she's going to like pull anything out of a hat here. Like, you know, most of the time we see her like when things are like back against the wall, she like pulls out some interesting thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'll just do the job at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be a trick to this. She's just going to have to do it.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else? I mean, is Ren going to go back to being mean to her just because Yashara pointed it out again?
Yeah, I mean, the Ren stuff is interesting because I like, you know, he's the love interest of the story, clearly, right? But there are, and I guess part of this is like we're only adapting maybe like the first, you know, 8 or 9 volumes.
Like maybe 10.
But we are slow walking it a little bit, which I like because it makes it a little bit more realistic that this would happen. Because again, you know, like in the first episode where they're like hanging out, she's kind of taking care of him, that kind of stuff. That all seems pretty reasonable. It doesn't seem like anybody's just like immediately falling in love with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even seem like she is thinking about him that way, even though
no,
he kind
not
of is.
At all. Yeah. When he shouldn't.
And I get why the, well, I mean, this is what having a backstory, but like having them be childhood friends or whatever does for you mm-hmm. is like, he can be nostalgic about that, which kind of dovetails into it. Right. So I get the move, you know, before I was like, I don't know what this gets you. This is what mm-hmm. it gets you.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, cause it's already been 6 months and we're only in volume 7 and we have 50 volumes. So she will get older at some point. So we don't know when they get together. So maybe she will be like appropriate age at that time. Maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we won't see here on the podcast, sadly.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that in the final 7 episodes of this show.
Nope. What? How do you think the show is going to end? Like, do you think they're going to end it as if it was continuing or try to end it like wrap up loose ends in this single season, knowing that they got canceled or they like stopped being a company like mere months after this came out?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it just kind of depends. I think they're going to do a thing that like could be kind of like how Kimi de Todoke, like every season kind of ended out of place where it's like, well, this could be the end, even though like clearly it goes forward.
Yeah.
Because some of these shows are also just like, hey, you should go read the source material that keeps going.
Yeah. I mean, this one clearly has like, like a goal that's supposed to be achieved, which is like be bigger than show and show business. So it's not as like vague in what the direction this takes is.
Yeah, it does kind of
be more famous than him and has to do stuff to get to that point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there is always the off ramp of she can decide that she's doing this for herself and just drop the revenge thing at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like there is the option for an off ramp of being like, oh, you can always just like pivot from that. Do the thing that Ren is saying where it's like, oh, I'm doing stuff for me and not for revenge or whatever. And that's kind of like how you would end at any point.
How would you want it to? We like Angry Kyoko.
I like Angry Kyoko. I'm just saying, like, mechanistically, that's a way you could do that. I think it's better that she's mad. I think it's better that she's fueled by spite. I like Angry Kyoko.
Yeah, me too.
I have fully zero understanding of what the Love Me section is for anymore.
I know. Like, I feel
the
like
stamps
they could
do not seem to matter.
More.
That has no stakes for me anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that part has kind of fallen off.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it should be, because anything Love Me would be like very temporary. So it would be annoying if there's these constant like tiny things taking us away from like the action of what's actually happening. But I don't know, maybe they reference it more or.
It seems like the thing she needs to learn is to do some vague thing about being lovable. Right. And that kind of fits into this where it's like you have to pretend like you have to act like you are going to be in love with somebody at a certain point in time. Convincingly. Right. This scene is kind of a little bit different where you have to act angelic and like on the behalf of your because you don't want your sister to die. So you're like doing that kind of thing. That's a little bit different. And, you know, but like in terms of the Love Me stakes of like she needs the stamps to get approval. She needs to like learn a lesson about like what it means to love something and want to be loved, those stakes don't really feel like it has a lot of meaning for me at the moment. Like yeah. that aspect of the love me section, like the premise of it, it has no real impact on me at the moment.
At least
I'm still like, that, who cares?
That logo as like the like when she did the cooking and messed it up and is like, oh, we can't show this, it's so bad. But you just stuck the logo on top of the frying pan to hide the contents of it.
Yeah, no, I think like the aesthetics are good. Like, I like the jumpsuits, I like the logo. I'm just saying that like the stakes of that, of like, is she going to be let into LME? Like, is she going to pass through the love me section or not? That is not like, those are not stakes I'm thinking about or like are very invested in.
Are you going to sew us our own love me uniform?
I got to sew it. I mean, I guess I just got to get like a patch, right? You just got to sew on a patch. That should be pretty easy.
Uh-huh.
I bet somebody's done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see.
There's probably heinous jumpsuits online already. I got the patch that I have off Etsy.
It's very possible. This seems possible to me. Oh yeah, people make these.
Yeah, yeah.
See, we can even get it ironed on. I don't have to sew anything.
Yeah, when we get our cosplay debut as a podcast.
Yeah, right.
When we're guest panelists at a convention.
Uh-huh.
Oh man.
But yeah. Anyway, we're still going strong. From here, we're going to have three more episodes because, you know, I said there are seven episodes. Right. We're covering three at a time. Obviously, three does not go into seven. So I think we're going to do three episodes next time and then two and two.
Yeah.
And then we will be finished with Skip Beat.
Yep, yep, yep.
So look forward to that. But next time, it's going to be three more episodes. So we'll be doing 19, 20, and 21.
Oh, it's almost over.
It is almost over.
Yeah, we'll have to, once we do our final episode on this, kind of do the same like ranking. We should have like favorite protagonists, like if it, like, does Kyoko replace whoever?
Oh yeah,
I feel like,
sure,
Kyoko, we'll obviously like, is number one, she's the best. But yeah, rank all the stuff, rank love interest, rank school uniforms. Kyoko losing that category. Well, actually the ones in Angelic Layer are bizarre. Yeah, fun stuff like that. So look forward to it. And now we're gonna do where we each recommend something that, if you know, obviously if you enjoy this podcast and similar interests to us, that likely you'll enjoy our recommendations here. And Joe, do you have anything prepared?
No.
Me neither. Let me find
Fatal Frame is a video game from 2001 where you point a camera and shoot it at ghosts. And it's pretty fun. No, I'm not going to do that. Anything I have? I don't think I have anything.
In doubt, I go to Webtoon and just look at, like, what have I been reading recently? Let's do... Hold on, I'm about to sneeze. Oh, God.
I bought the Blu-rays for Fire Force. I do like Fire Force, despite the fan service character.
Well, because we like as a Soul character. Eater,
and that's, I do like Soul Eater. Soul Eater also did that, where it's like you have
with the witch.
You have Blair, who is like the fan service character here. And this one, I like Tamaki. It sucks that she gets treated this way. Fire Force is a cool show. I'll just recommend that. Sure, why not? Fire Force is an anime that is an adaptation of a manga. The anime came out in, let me look it up online. It came out in 2019. It takes place in a fictional world where there are pyrokinetics. There are people with pyrokinetic abilities. They come in different generations. So generation zero. So in this world, people will randomly spontaneously combust and become like fire monsters that will attack other people. Those are called generation one. Generation two are people that can control fire like telekinetically, like their pyrokinetics. And then generation three are people who can produce fire from their bodies. And basically everybody in the show has like different fire based superpowers, more or less. And they all wear these very cool, like,
are they cool?
Firefighter suits.
Okay, I don't like them.
You don't like the suits? They look different.
Not the nun one. What the heck?
And then there's also a nun, because a big part of this universe takes place of the Church of the Soul, which is like the Catholic Church of this world that is powerful and is also around, you know, giving thanks to the sun god because it's all about fire and sun. It's very interesting. There is a lot of intrigue. The story follows a new recruit named Shinra Kusakabe, who's a third generation pyrokinetic, who shoots fire from his feet to fly around. So he's like an Iron Man flying around. I mean, that's all he can do. So he can ignite his feet as well. And he's ostracized as a child for the fire that killed his mother and younger brother, Sho, 12 years ago. I'm just reading from the Wikipedia now. He joins Fire Force Company 8, which features other pyrokinetics who dedicate themselves to ending infernal attacks for good while investigating companies 1 through 7 for potential corruption within their ranks. So it is one part an investigation of, like, there is some sketchy stuff going on with corruption in terms of, like, there are some secret societies, there are some people withholding some information. Each of these other companies is, like, associated with something. So, like, Company 1 is associated with the church. Company, like, 7 is, like, a research institute. So, like, they all have a little gimmick to them. Number 2 is the military. Shinra begins to learn that fire that killed his mother was a cover for Sho being taken by the White Clad, a doomsday cult behind the internal attacks with agents within the facet of the Tokyo Empire. So, conspiracy! They also have to just sometimes, you know, save people from the pirate or like the infernals, which are like the people that turn into fire guys. I like it quite a bit. I think it takes everything, you know, the world building is pretty good. I think they take the way they handle religion is pretty nice in that they, you know, it's both the Catholic Church is evil, which, like, you know, always love a story where the Catholic Church is evil. but also, like, takes seriously, you know, the faith of the people that are in it, right? So it's not even like, oh, well, you're just dumb for thinking this thing. It's like, you know, this has utility for believing this stuff. You can believe things outside of the shortcomings of the, you know, organization around it. So even though the Church of Seoul may not be, you know, maybe corrupted, you can still have like a religious faith that means something to you. So I think it's treated pretty well. I guess disclaimers for this show. There's a character named Tamaki, who I like. She's like she ends up being a fan service thing. It's not great. It's pretty bad. I don't like it. The characters in the show don't like it. She is a cat fire lady. I think her power is cool. I wish she got more to do. They're going to have a new season soon. Hopefully she'll have more to do, but you know, a dog by bad fan service. She wears like
a freaking bikini top and just falls off all the time, right?
Yes.
Thing. Yeah.
It's very tacky. I think it's bad. most of the other fans I see online also think it's bad. So I don't know why this is happening, but it is. That's one disclaimer. The other disclaimer is that there's some localization stuff where there's a couple of black characters. They get called some stuff that is not the greatest of all time.
What?
I wouldn't have localized it that way, but they did. So
I don't remember.
I mean, they're drawn well. Like, the thing is, like, they have a couple of black characters that are drawn, like, well, which is not a given in anime because anime can be kind of racist against dark-skinned people in the way they talk about. You can look at Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z if you want to, an example of bad drawings. These guys are drawn cool and, like, you know, they look pretty cool. But yeah, some of the stuff they say should take another pass at that.
Oh, like stereotype?
Yeah.
Okay.
They call one of the black characters like a gorilla over and over again, which, like, you know,
is that like the power?
I don't know if it has the connotation in Japanese. Well, no, he's like because he's super strong guy. He's like an endurance guy. Like, he takes hits and then he dishes them back out, which is like very cool. He's a very cool character, but they keep calling him that. And I'm like, man,
could've picked it
you
better.
Shouldn't do that in the localization. Come on. You know?
Oh, yeah. The people localizing should know better.
Yeah. But again, it's one of those things where, like, this character is cool. You guys should pay attention to what you're doing and what you're saying and what you're writing, because otherwise, you know, it's not that bad. They have another black character who's also very cool. He, like, rides a skateboard around and is like,
yeah, I think that's the one I remember.
Yeah, he's cool. I don't think anything sketchy happens with him. But again, you know, stuff like that where it's like almost nailed it, almost had it, but you just got to include this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I like Fire Force quite a bit. Otherwise, I wouldn't give so many disclaimers for it. This is how I describe really things I like. The opening is pretty good. I like the uniforms. I like the fire powers. It's a show that, like, cares about the side characters. It's not going to be like Jujutsu Kaisen, where it's like, oh, look, there's all these side characters, and then they just get, like, owned, and that's the last time you ever see them. the show actually cares about its side characters, and that makes it fun.
Unlike freaking Star Wars, the Acolyte.
Oh yeah, Acolyte, where it just becomes like a different show halfway through. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, I am gonna recommend a dating sim. So probably a lot of gals and guys who enjoy shoujo play visual novel dating sims. This one is a Korean one, which there aren't that many that have been translated officially to English that are Korean made, but this is a by the developer called Sheritz. And they have made this game. It's called Dandelion Wishes Brought to You. And it's the first one that they made that I played. This came out like my freshman year of college. And it was pretty nice because at that time it was mostly a lot of shitty like phone games that weren't as good quality before we were getting a ton of them. Like now several good ones come out every year. But before it was like the same one would just get reported to like the new consoles and it was really annoying. But this one is a PC game and I'll just read the little, although it's kind of a bad description. Actually, this is... Oh, wait, no. Here we go. Okay. Story. Hee-jung Kim moved out from her mom's house, who is obsessed with her education. She tries to find her real... What? She's trying to find her real dream life. Okay, maybe there's some weird translation. Basically, this chick is in college, and she, yeah, has, like, a strained relationship. Kind of like Kyoko with her mom being like, you better get good grades or else I won't love you. Kind of thing. And she happens upon like this basket of little animals and she decides to take them home with her. And it turns out they're not animals, that they're I need to replay this. It's been a hot second. But basically they're hot dudes. And like from a different realm or whatever. And it's kind of like a life sim, like where you have stats you have to maintain and stuff as well, and you can like fail the story if you haven't raised certain stats to at when you get to certain like plot lines. But like it's gorgeous, and they have an opening for it, and that's really good as well. And they have a couple other games, Nameless, which I don't like the art style as much. And then they have the most popular thing they've made is, what is that name? What's that game? Mystic Messenger, which is a phone game. And basically it's like you have all these characters as if they're contacting you on your phone, where you get like notifications that they've sent you a message and blah, blah, blah. And the story unfolds under that. Kind of presentation, and they even have a female character you can romance in that one, so there's a little bit of Yuri for you. So there's not very many, or at least not that I am like as familiar with boys love or girls love ones, but seemingly isn't as many that are like officially translated of good quality, so at least a little bit there. But yeah, Dandelion Wishes Brought to You. There's even a free demo on Steam if you want to try that. But yeah, it's really pretty. It's really cute. It's like cozy and heartwarming. And I just remember it was like a snow day when I first got it. And my friends were like, hey, come outside and let's hang out in the snow. I was like, oh, I just got this new game I got to play. So it was good enough to keep me from socializing. Not that that takes very much, I guess. But yeah, that's our recommendations this week, Joe.
Greatest 5 stars.
Yeah,
we mentioned this at the beginning, but now I'm mentioning it now, which is that you should rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on now. And if you're listening to it on YouTube, subscribe and leave a comment on whatever video you're watching right now. And then go to every other
video
and
leave a comment on those. Actually.
Yeah. Go to Apple Podcasts and just rate us on that. That is all. Yeah. Thank you.
And now we part ways now, dear listener,
and we have reached the end of another episode of Shoujo.
I know you're devastated that it's over, but lucky for you, every week we're here So just hang tight. Make sure you watch Skip Beat episodes 19, 20, and 21.
Yep.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
That's right.
Shoujo.
Let's see. Did we learn anything in these episodes? I don't know if we learned anything.
Freaking have hobbies, Ren. Be a person outside of work.
Listen.
Work-life balance. Important. Yeah,
have a work-life balance, Ren. Have a work-life balance. I don't care how big your boobs are. Don't let people call you Milky. That's terrible.
Awful.
Don't let people even say the word Milky around you. Because it sounds bad. Got a bad mouth.
Yeah, where's the HR department for Queen Records, man? My God.
Yeah, he's like, you're older than him. Put this kid in his place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Supposed to respect your elders.
Like, you should be owning this kid. Come on. It's a child. He's like a brat. He's a six. Don't let a 16-year-old talk down to you. He's 16. What the fuck is he going to do?
Yeah.
Steal his lunch money. Yeah, so have hobbies. Also have hobbies. Don't be like Ren Saruga and just work. Go do something.
And if someone makes you a handmade lunch, don't spit it out right in front of them.
Yeah, unless like it's poison, in which case they poisoned you. So you should spit that out. You've been poisoned.
Okay.
All right.
We're giving out.
Don't get poisoned. Bye.
Oh, God.
Are we done? Are we out?
Yeah, we're done.